Hey, yo, it is quarterfinal season and welcome to another episode of Rising Pod. It's me, Adrian Conway. You knew that. I want to talk about the tests that are released. I'm going to give just a very brief opportunity to provide some feedback on like my thoughts and the flavor and all the wonderful things that are included with the test as it was released. And then we're going to chat through some strategy suggestions that I have for everyone. So that's going to include order of operations for the workouts. And then also some strategy considerations in regards to how to execute these things. So let's just go ahead and dive in from an overall perspective. My take on these four tests is that they're thorough. They're very well rounded. A lot of it is work capacity biased, which means that there needs to be a general level of conditioning before you're even able to express load or even skill. And a lot of people are annoyed at that. A lot of people have problems with that. And what I have to say in response is get fitter. And what I have to say in response is that we've been teased. We've been prefaced. We've been prepared. We've been told the flavors that are going to be offered this year. They talked about the tweaks that were happening. At large, they wanted to have more people included to be able to do the workouts, to be able to participate in the workouts, to be able to do well in the workouts. So they're balancing two things here, testing for the fittest on earth, which they don't need to find yet, but they need to make sure that the path is clear in order to find them. And they're trying to run a good business. They're trying to get more participation so they can make more money and do the thing. I totally understand. I like business. I like money. I like success. And I love CrossFit. And I want it to be successful. And I want the games to grow. And I want the methodology to grow. So maybe I'm biased towards that. But also, I would assume that if you're listening to my content, you care about fitness. You care about health. If you have a contention that CrossFit isn't the method or methodology to push us further as a human race, to get further from chronic disease and to get people off the couch and to get people socially connected to a community around them, to be spurred along to do hard things. There's exponential benefits to this training methodology if you do it alone or if you do it with people. And I want it to grow and I want it to be exposed to more people. And guess what? They got to grow and make more money if they want to do that. That's just the bottom line. So I'm a fan. If you're not, you probably shouldn't be participating in the sport though. So this particular episode might not bring you as much value. So we're getting, you know, I have a write-up. If you guys are curious about reading my write-up, go to the True Fitness blog. It should be up by the time you start to get an opportunity to listen to this before you attack the workouts. But I have a write-up and I wrote a quote that's similar to a Dennis Green quote. This is a you got to go back and reference the history of football. But Dennis Green used to coach the Cardinals, and there was a quote that he is after a Monday night football game, they played the Chicago Bears, and he's just like, "Well, they are who we thought they were. They are who we thought they were. And if you want to crown them, you can crown them." Like he's going off, but he just repeats this thing. It was like, yeah, this is what we expected and this is what we got. And team, these workouts are what we expected and this is what we got. So dialed into the point that if you're following one of our True Tracks, True Competitor, True Masters, True Teens, True Competitor Pro, you have done a version of these four workouts within the last 4 to 6 weeks, guaranteed. From the variance of their preparation, from the variance of the way that they're presented, like with time domains, from the ways that they are ascending in load, from the ways that they are ascending in complexity in the form of test three. All of these things we've tested on, we've prepared for, and we have hopefully nailed so that you could have a good showing. But I digress to dive into these tests and say, they're not semifinal style tests. We're going to see those at semifinals. So if you think you're strong and you're excited to rip off a one rep max, make it to semifinals. And if you think you're high skilled and you want to show you can walk on your hands and do pirouettes and walk over obstacles and do pistols with weight and do, strict ring muscle ups or seated ring muscle ups or anything else that's more extreme and more fancy, then you got to have the baseline of fitness to be elite first. The order of operations is important to jump into. We've got four very thorough tests in regards to expression of power and the way that they will create fatigue. The unique circumstances that I'm recording this at Wednesday at about 5 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, I've already had athletes take part in a workout. They've already done one of the tests. Now, it's a la carte because these athletes are all very different and they want to attack things in a different order. But I'm going to do my best to lay forth an order of operations that I think might serve the masses best. So here's what I'm going to suggest. I'm going to suggest that you open with workout 3, then go to workout 4, then go to workout 1, then workout 2. If you started on Wednesday, this allows you to do a test 3 on Wednesday, test 4 on Thursday, test 1 on Friday, test 2 on Saturday, long before the submission time, which is due, at least where we live, 4 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. So literally, you can hit one of these in any order that you want. So 3, 4, 1, 2 is what I'm suggesting. I'll tell you why in a second. But it allows you to tech it in any order that you want and still have everything done before the first score submission. Now, what does that provide? That provides that one of these back-end tests, 3 or 4, that aren't due until Monday, you can then sit back and relax and repeat them on Sunday or Monday and give it another go. See if you can shave some time off, okay? Now, the reason I say present this order is 3 and 4 are the easier of the two to miss when it comes to how you attack them, right? They're the easier to whiff on if you make a psychological mistake or a pacing error that they can come back to bite you in a much bigger way. So that's why I front load with them. That's one reason. The other reason is that in workouts 1 and 2, we're going to accumulate a lot more undue total body fatigue. And most of you that are attacking this at the quarterfinal level with hopes of semifinals, you're fit enough that it wouldn't necessarily matter, but it allows you to attack these tests that are higher skill and progressive in skill, the skill test, to attack them with a fresher body and a fresher mind. And I have test 3 first simply because of how often the first test tends to go. So here's what I want you to consider. If you've been competing in CrossFit for a while, if you've done the sport for quite a while, often we set out to do a competition, whether it be live or online, and that first workout, because we're so used to the physiological arousal of slight fatigue, we're not used to being tapered, we're not used to feeling completely fresh. When you kick it down the walls with something like workout 4, you feel like your legs are a little bit heavier than you're used to in your training. Now, I am not saying by any stretch of the imagination that this is from a training stimulus or from an optimization when we think about optimizing like muscle fiber contractions or speed contractions versus power contractions versus strength speed versus strength endurance. Like I'm not comparing these things. I'm not in the weeds having the nerd exercise physiology discussion. What I am discussing, though, is the fact that workout 3 can be executed. It's going to be a lot of upper body and midline fatigue. You can go through that, but the pace of this workout is going to be very different for each and every person. But overall, the pace is going to be slow and steady and paced with intentionality. You're not going to suffer very much cardiorespiratory-wise, and we're not going to build much, if any, fatigue in the legs through this test. It's a great one to nail out the gate because, again, your mind is fresh and your body is fresh. Gives you an opportunity to skin through the strict gymnastics that are prescribed in block 2 with the strict handstand pushups, and then, of course, the strict wall-facing handstand pushups into the ring muscle-ups for those that are going to be able to make it that far. We know that if you hit a ring muscle-up, and more specifically, if you finish a ring muscle-up, through the 20 reps, you're going to be set apart in regards to the masses that take part in this test. So all those things considered, I suggest that the masses start with workout 3, then you go to workout 4 the next day. Now, while workout 4 is a clean and jerk workout, it is also something that is going to tax the legs more than the upper body for most people. If you can have a solid overhead position, you're going to be taxed with your ability to drive through your legs to get the bar to the lockout position more than you will be to press it out or sustain a pressed out position with your shoulders and triceps. So we go from an upper body gymnastics bias test to predominantly a lower body power strength endurance test. And it creates an ability still for number 4 to be done while you're most fresh in your lower body, which is going to give you the best results. But I like 4 as number 2. I like workout number 4 as the second workout that you do, because you've already shaken off some of that freshness from your taper, the freshness from your preparedness. And it's now when you hit workout 4 the second day, you're going to feel more like yourself when you go to address the bar and start going through it, in my opinion. Then we get to workout 1 on day 3. And this is because, well, workout 1 is a 1 minute station rotation. It's going to be 4 rounds through of snatches, rowing for calories, dumbbell box step overs. Now, yes, you are going to create a lot of fatigue in this test, but not a lot of it is going to result in exponential muscle soreness or tissue breakdown. If you've been training at relatively higher volumes, this workout's going to look like it's not that bad. Metabolically, it's going to get very uncomfortable. And also, you're going to get pretty sore in the glutes and in the low back because you're going to be hinging. You're going to try to keep your hips pretty high on the snatches so that you can save your legs for the step-ups. And then, unfortunately, folks, all these movements matter. This is not like Fight Gone Bad, although it's comparable in regards to its presentation and minute, 1 minute station rotation. All these reps matter due to the snatches, the distance that the bar has to travel, the load that it's loaded with, the step ups, and the time that it takes to get to the apex of a step up versus the time to get down and what it's loaded with. And then, of course, the calories on the rower. Each of these are going to be pretty equally represented in regards to output for most, especially high level achievers. So there's no sloughing off and there's no slacking where the row and Fight Gone Bad, you might be able to take a seat back and not do much work. So this is going to create a lot of metabolic distress, but you're going to be able to recover from it just fine. And then you're going to want to finish with workout two, because workout two is going to be the most destructive. 50 wall balls, 50 lateral burpee box jump overs, 3 rounds for time is going to be absolutely devastating, not just physically, but also psychologically. It's going to test your ability to stay doing that one thing, specifically the burpee box jump over, consistently with no relenting. Right? Not changing your tempo, not changing your pace, knowing exactly how to start so you have a chance to finish. All these things are really hard psychologically and emotionally, almost more so than they are physically. So I like to save that one for last because of the response that we're going to get from our body there and the high levels of stress that it's going to demand of us. So 3-4-1-2 is my suggestion. But I want to let you know that I got athletes that are going to go 4-3-1-2. I got athletes that are going to go 3-1-2-4. And it all depends on their life, their circumstance, their schedules, all this stuff. So there's not a wrong way to do it. As long as you have an intentionality behind the choices that you're going to make, you can be successful in how to attack this. My suggestion, 3-4-1-2. Now, when it comes to workout execution, here's what I want to start with. I'm going to start with workout one, and I want to dive into this. It's 4 rounds for max reps. I've already let you know that all of the reps matter, all of the minutes matter. Keep in mind, this is going to be 3 minutes of steady work and 1 minute of rest. Transitions are important. So consider this. At 135 pounds and 95 pounds on the bar, you're going to do singles the whole time. If you're doing touch and go, you're ignorant. So you're going to do singles. Then you want to make sure that you're advancing to the rower so that you can actually get settled in the rower and get the calories per pull that you need to in order to hit a goal. Before you even start this workout, you need to have some goals in regards to numbers and pacing so that you can stay accountable. If you just think you're going to hit this and end up with a good score by just, moving through each minute and listening to your body, it's likely not the case. Because what's going to happen as fatigue builds, as we surpass round two and get into round three and four, is that your body's going to be telling you things you don't need to hear. And you need to be telling your body to shut up with your mind. You need to be doing what you can to hit the reps prescribed or the reps suggested by your coach or yourself or the expectations that you just wrote up on the whiteboard before you started. It doesn't matter where they come from. Just give yourself something to shoot for. It will help you. The cadence at which you execute the dumbbell box step-ups will matter. Now, I haven't had any athletes do this yet, and I haven't looked at the scorecard with a ton of detail, but right now it says step-ups, and I thought it was a step-over, so nope. It says step-ups. Okay, cool. Let's see. Let's confirm. Ooh, daddy, it is a step-up. Each rep begins with both feet touching the ground. The dumbbells must be held in the hang position. Dumbbells must only feet may contact the box. The rep is accredited when both feet are on top of the box. The hips and knees are fully extended with the head. The athletes do not need to alternate their lead leg after each rep. Okay. Excellent. So something to be mindful here with these step-ups is, guess what, folks? You don't even got to do the step-up all with one leg. You can start to step up with one leg and bring the other leg up and then step up the rest of the way with that leg. I don't like these standards. I don't like that particularly because it takes that unilateral balance and consideration out of the equation. It's not the same demand that we put on the body for the pistol, but you could make it that way if you just say, hey, you got to reach full hip extension before the other foot touches the top of the box. Or you just say, hey, you got to stand up on one leg all the way. Show us an open hip and then step down. This mimics a pistol and the stability and balance required of it even more. So I would prefer that standard, but I'm not here to give critical feedback. We can talk about that in an episode after we wrap up this quarterfinals. Workout one's going to be a doozy. Remember, set expectations that will give you success. Workout two, I already talked to you about this. This is a hate workout. Like Adrian and Dave, they hate us. They hate everybody, and that's why they put this test in there. No, I'm kidding. It's a great test because it's a lot between the ears, more so than it is physiologically. This is also one of those workouts where it's kind of like you got it or you don't. You're prepared for it or you're not. And that's what I like about most of these tests is that we're not going to get many surprises. It's not like many people are going to come out of the woodworks and be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they did this or did that. Maybe workout three, because again, there's pacing is very significant and you can miss and whiff. Even if you've got the capacity, you do one too many strict handstand pushups in a row, or if you do too many toes to bar unbroken, and then all of a sudden your midline is affected by on the rope climbs, and then you're compromised on the rope climbs, and so you use your arms more, and then because your midline and your arms are compromised, then the ring muscle ups are a problem, right? I'm talking about workout three. We're not even there yet, but you guys get the idea. You got to forgive me. I took a red pill today. A red pill is a product that we're looking to launch very soon for FNX, and you get it. It has matrix ties, right? The red pill or the blue pill. I took the red pill today. I've been taking it for several days in a row. It is a potent psychological stimulator. It helps me focus. It helps me do clear work, and it helps me want to stay juiced up through the rest of the day. It's now 6 p.m. I took that thing at about 9 o'clock this morning, just after I ate breakfast, and I'm feeling real good. So be on the lookout for the red pill. I'll have more to share about that as we go. On to workout number two now with more specific details. You can break up the wall balls, folks. Break up the wall balls, and you can do it not often, but you can do it early, earlier than you think, so that your pace on the burpees is consistent and steady. When you think about the way you execute a wall ball, there is less ways to create mechanical advantage or pacing advantage on someone other than just going faster down or keeping the wall ball moving the whole time, which is going to be hard and create a lot of stress. But if you can dial in your strategy on the burpee box jump over, you can create a tremendous mechanical advantage by staying a little lower in the transition, by figuring out exactly your breathing rhythm and what you're going to step up or jump up, or you got to step them down. That's part of the rule. That's a dumb rule. I'm just not a fan of slowing people down intentionally so that it's harder to create separation between you and the field. But again, it's all good. We're going to play the game. So be mindful of those aspects into workout two. Workout three, break it up early and often, earlier than you think you need to. The fatigue that you're going to build in your midline and your hip flexors on the toes bar, although it's only 60, and for some of you elites, that's not a big deal, it's going to affect your rope climbs. And then once it affects your rope climbs, it's going to affect your arms. Once it affects your arms, it's going to affect your ring muscle ups. And that's where the workout's won. That's where the top 10 in the West, or the top 10 in the East, or the top 10 in every semifinal region are really going to create the separation, is coming off that wall into the 20 ring muscle ups. And it's those who manage fatigue best, not that get there soonest, not to get to the rings as soon as, it's those who have managed fatigue best will finish fastest. Again, take your eyes and ears and minds back to reliving what quarters was like last year. That workout with like pull-ups, bar muscle-ups, and rope climbs. Like 60% of the workout was spent on the rope climbs, even for the fast people. So it was who managed the early work easier, not faster, but easier, and then had success in the rope climbs who were successful in the workout. This, my prediction, is the same way for the ring muscle up. So be mindful of that. Break up your stuff early and often. Be accurate with where you put your hands. Don't get any no reps for doing something dumb like kicking up too early or letting your feet fall away from the wall. These are things that you have to focus on day in and day out with your training that are going to allow you to have success when it's time to throw down and cost you less brain fog and brain energy because you do it all the time. It's habitual. It's in your nature. You are in the practice of doing the right things the right way, and that's going to give you success down the road. Workout number four, the clean and jerk workout. This is the strength endurance test. This is a test that you need to start slower than you think you need to. Touch and go shouldn't even be in your brain. Again, to me, that's just ignorance to consider that. Some people are going to do it. Good for them. I don't think it's going to help anyone. Do singles out the gate. Know the tempo that you want to establish. You can do singles very smoothly and still end up with about 4 minutes and 40 seconds to do clean and jerks at 245 and 165. Why would you even want to do them for longer than that? Now, if you go much slower than that, is that going to help you? I don't know, because even if you do slower singles to get maybe 430 or 420 or 4 minutes of clean and jerks with less time, I don't think that you can do more work. And that's the bottom line goal of each and every test, is to end up with a faster time or do more work. I don't care how you get there. In fact, we want to explore being as creative as we can with how we get there to give you unique amounts of success compared to the field. So I would say pace it early, do singles, focus on your clean and jerks, priming you for the next bar. So 135 clean and jerks can happen fast. They could go unbroken for most of y'all. Don't dare do it. Do singles and do them in the way you want to do 185. Then do 185 in the way that you want those clean and jerks to feel at 225. Then at 225, power clean, catch it high in your throat, into a quick jerk, and let that bar settle on the ground. Take a breath, then do it again, and prepare your mind for 245. For the women, it'll be 165. But you guys get the idea. Be technically proficient and technically sound, entering into your heavy reps, and it will give you more success. Know that the real workout and the real separation is going to happen starting at about 8 to 9 reps of the heavy barbell for the strong athletes. Who's going to get in through 35 to 40 repetitions at 245? That's going to be the question, and that's going to be the athletes who end up with some of the top scores in this particular test, because a lot of them are going to have 5 minutes to be doing clean jerks with 245. For you everyday athletes, don't you dare not consider doing split jerks. And I mean it, you know, a power clean into a quick split jerk is going to be much more beneficial than a power clean into a wait, wait, dip, dip, drive, drive, wobble, wobble, push jerk. So use the split jerk. Yes, it takes longer to cycle. You're going to be resting anyways when the bar hits the ground, right? Take your time. Do what's most efficient for you. Team, I wanted to keep this under 20 minutes. I'm right on the nose. I hope these things help you. I know that this is going to be a stressful week for everyone, especially those that are looking to be semi-hopefuls. But what I want to remind you of is this is an opportunity to showcase your hard work. This is an opportunity to have fun with this. These workouts aren't super high stress. It's like either you got this stuff or you don't. And if you don't, swallow a hard pill and try to find ways to enjoy yourself and hit your personal PRs and hit your personal best. Those are the things that should consume you more than the leaderboard. Consume yourself with you maximizing your own personal best, the way that you attack a workout, executing a proper game plan and strategy, learning from the mistakes that you make if you're going to repeat workouts, and nailing something for your own personal capacity. This is the way. This is how you stay happy. This is how you stay hopeful. And this is how you stay the long-term journey. It's not being obsessed with the leaderboard. That'll take care of itself, folks. Wake up. Do your best, have a plan, have people around you that can keep you loose and have a good time. Hey, play some good music. You know what I mean? Play some good music on the speakers. Get in that zone. Do your thing and represent for your people. Whoever lights you up, represent for those people, because CrossFit as a sport is hard. You got to have something else in your back pocket that motivates you and brings you passion and zeal from the results other than the results themselves. It could be the grind, could be your family, could be your faith, could be so many things, but use those things as a catalyst to be the best you. And I want to wish everybody good luck. And I would be remiss if I wasn't mentioning exactly what's popping up on the bottom of the screen. Rise 45 Summer Body is going live May 6th. We are doing this globally wide. So anyone that wants to participate, you're going to get 45 days of nutrition coaching. You're going to get 45 days of guidance. You're going to get 45 days of accountability. We've had tremendous transformations in these 45 days. And not only that, people go on to go day 46, 47, 48, and 100 days and beyond where they can comply with these things that we put into practice, because we're not just about get fit quick. We're about get fit and make it a lifestyle. So reach out to us. If you have any questions, info@truefitness.com. And also we've got different links that are available for you guys to click and get signed up or answer more questions that you might have about Rise 45. What is it all about? What do you get access to? And what are you going to get when you sign up for this thing? But we'd love to have you. It's a 6-week challenge. We're going to have some gifts for the winners, and it's a $149.99 price point if you get on it ASAP, early bird special, but that ends April 22nd. So you only got about 5 days from the time I'm recording this to get on that special. So check out the link in the bio if you see any of this stuff on social media. And then also check out the link that will be available in the show notes. I'll make sure I put it there. But have a great day. Good luck at quarters. Go do your thing. I'm out.